the tafsir of Surat Al-Fil, chapter 105, which was revealed in Mecca.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful.
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ.
Translation: Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the owners of the elephant? Did he not make their plot go astray? And he sent against them birds in flocks, ababil, striking them with stones of sijil, and he made them like asfa, ma'kul. Al-Qur'an, chapter 105, verses 1 to 5. This is one of the favors Allah did for the Quraysh. He saved them from the people of the elephant, who had tried to tear down the Kaaba and wipe out all traces of its existence. Allah destroyed them, defeated them, thwarted their plans, made their efforts in vain, and sent them back routed. They were people who were Christians, and thus their religion was closer to the true religion, Islam, than the idolatry of the Quraysh. However, this was a means of giving a sign and preparing the way for the coming of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For verily, he was born during the same year, according to the most popular opinion. So the tongue of destiny was saying, "We will not help you, O people of Quraysh, because of any status you may have over the Ethiopians, Abyssinians. We are only helping you in order to defend the ancient house, the Kaaba, which we will honor, magnify and venerate by sending the unlettered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the finality of all prophets." The first topic of this tafsir is a summary of the story of the people of the elephant. This is the story of the people of the elephant, in brief and summarized. It has already been mentioned in the story of the people of the ditch that Dhu Nuqas, the last king of Himyar, a polytheist, was the one who ordered killing of the people of the ditch. They were Christians, and the number was approximately 20,000. None of them except a man named Dawz Thu Tha'laban escaped. He fled to Ash-Sham, where he sought protection from Caesar, the emperor of Ash-Sham, who was also a Christian. Caesar wrote to An-Najashi, the king of Ethiopia, Abyssinia, who was closer to the home of the man. An-Najashi sent two governors with him, Ariath and Abraha bin As-Sabah Abu Yaksum, along with a great army. The army entered Yemen and began searching the houses and looting in search of the king of Himyar, Dhu Nuqas. Dhu Nuqas was eventually killed by drowning in the sea. Thus, the Ethiopians were free to rule Yemen, with Ariath and Abraha as its governors. However, they continually disagreed about matters, attacked each other, fought each other, and warred against each other, until one of them said to the other, "There is no need for our two armies to fight. Instead, let us fight each other in a duel, and the one who kills the other will be the ruler of Yemen." So the other accepted the challenge and they held a duel. Behind each man was a channel of water to keep either from fleeing. Ariath gained the upper hand and struck Abraha with his sword, splitting his nose and mouth and slashing his face. But Atouda, Abraha's guard, attacked Ariath and killed him. Thus, Abraha returned wounded to Yemen, where he was treated for his injuries and recovered. He thus became the commander of the Abyssinian army in Yemen. Then the king of Abyssinia, An-Najashi, wrote to him, blaming him for what had happened between him and Ariath, and threatened him, saying that he swore to tread on the soil of Yemen and cut off his forelock. Therefore, Abraha sent a messenger with gifts and precious objects to An-Najashi to appease him and flatter him. and a sack containing soil from Yemen, and a piece of hair cut from his forelock. He said in his letter to the king, "Let the king walk upon this soil and thus fulfill his oath, and this is my forelock hair that I send to you." When An-Najashi received this, he was pleased with Abraha and gave him his approval. Then Abraha wrote to An-Najashi saying that he would build a church for him in Yemen, the like of which had never been built before. Thus he began to build a huge church in Sana'a, tall and beautifully crafted and decorated on all sides. The Arabs called it Al-Qulais because of its great height, and because if one looked at it, his cap would be in danger of falling off as he tilted his head back. Then Abraha Al-Ashram decided to force the Arabs to make the pilgrimage to this magnificent church, just as they had performed pilgrimage to the Kaaba in Mecca. He announced this in his kingdom, Yemen, but it was rejected by the Arab tribes of Adnan and Qahtan. The Quraysh were infuriated by it, so much so that one of them journeyed to the church and entered it in one night. He then relieved himself in the church and ran away, escaping the people. When its custodians saw what he had done, they reported it to their king, Abraha, saying, "One of the Quraysh has done this in anger over their house, in whose place you have appointed this church." Upon hearing this, Abraha swore to march to the house of Mecca, the Kaaba, and destroy it stone by stone. Muqatil bin Sulaiman mentioned that a group of young men from the Quraysh entered the church and started a fire in it on an extremely windy day. So the church caught on fire and collapsed to the ground. Due to this, Abraha prepared himself and set out with a huge and powerful army so that none might prevent him from carrying out his mission. He took along a great, powerful elephant that had a huge body, the like of which had never been seen before. This elephant was called Mahmud, and it was sent to Abraha from An-Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, particularly for this expedition. It has also been said that he had 8 other elephants with him. The number was also reported to be 12, plus the large one Mahmud, and Allah knows best. The intention was to use this big elephant to demolish the Kaaba. They planned to do this by fastening chains to the pillars of the Kaaba and placing the other ends around the neck of the elephant. Then they would make the elephant pull on them in order to tear down the walls of the Kaaba all at one time. When the Arabs heard of Abraha's expedition, they considered it an extremely grave matter. They held it to be an obligation upon them to defend the sacred house and repel whoever intended a plot against it. Thus, the noblest man of the people of Yemen and the greatest of their chiefs set out to face him, that is Abraha. His name was Zu Nafr. He called his people and whoever would respond to his call among the Arabs to go to war against Abraha and fight in defense of the sacred house. He called the people to stop Abraha's plan to demolish and tear down the Kaaba. So the people responded to him, and they entered into battle with Abraha, but he defeated them. This was due to Allah's will and his intent to honor and venerate the Kaaba. Zu Nafr was captured and taken along with the army of Abraha. The army continued on its way until it came to the land of Qatam, where it was confronted by Nufail bin Habib al-Qatami along with his people, the Shahran and Nahis tribes. They fought Abraha, but he defeated them and captured Nufail bin Habib. Initially, he wanted to kill him, but he forgave him and took him as his guide to show him the way to Al-Hijaz. When they approached the area of At-Taif, its people, the people of Saqif, went out to Abraha. They wanted to appease him because they were fearful of their place of worship, which they called Al-Lat. Abraha was kind to them, and they sent a man named Abu Righal with him as a guide. When they reached a place known as Al-Mughammas, which is near Mecca, they settled there. Then he sent his troops on a foray to capture the camels and other grazing animals of the Meccans, which they did, including about 200 camels belonging to Abdul Muttalib. The leader of this particular expedition was a man named Al-Aswad bin Mafsud. According to what Ibn Ishaq mentioned, some of the Arabs used to satirize him because of the part he played in this historical incident. Then Abraha sent an emissary named Hanatha al-Himyari to enter Mecca, commanding him to bring the head of the Quraysh to him. He also commanded him to inform him that the king will not fight the people of Mecca unless they try to prevent him from the destruction of the Kaaba. Hanatha went to the city and he was directed to Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim, to whom he relayed Abraha's message. Abdul Muttalib replied, "By Allah, we have no wish to fight him, nor are we in any position to do so. This is the sacred house of Allah and the house of his Khalil, Ibrahim. And if he wishes to prevent him, that is Abraha, from destroying it, it is his house and his sacred place to do so. And if he lets him approach it, by Allah, we have no means to defend it from him." So Hanatha told him, "Come with me to him," that is Abraha. And so Abdul Muttalib went with him. When Abraha saw him, he was impressed by him because Abdul Muttalib was a large and handsome man. So Abraha descended from his seat and sat with him on a carpet on the ground. Then he asked his translator to say to him, "What do you need?" Abdul Muttalib replied to the translator, "I want the king to return my camels, which he has taken from me, which are 200 in number." Abraha then told his translator to tell him, "I was impressed by you when I first saw you, but now I withdraw from you after you have spoken to me. You're asking me about 200 camels which I have taken from you, and you leave the matter of a house which is the foundation of your religion and the religion of your forefathers, which I have come to destroy, and you do not speak to me about it?" Abdul Muttalib said to him, "Verily, I am the lord of the camels. As for the house, it has its lord who will defend it." Abraha said, "I cannot be prevented from destroying it." Abdul Muttalib answered, "Then do so." It is said that a number of the chiefs of the Arabs accompanied Abdul Muttalib and offered Abraha a third of the wealth of the tribe of the Hama if he would withdraw from the house. But he refused and returned Abdul Muttalib's camels to him. Abdul Muttalib then returned to his people and ordered them to leave Mecca and seek shelter at the top of the mountains, fearful of the excesses which might be committed by the army against them. Then he took hold of the metal ring of the door of the Kaaba, and along with a number of Quraysh, he called upon Allah to give them victory over Abraha and his army. Abdul Muttalib said, "While hanging on the ring of the Kaaba's door, there is no matter more important to any man right now than the defense of his livestock and property. So, O my lord, defend your property. Their cross and their cunning will not be victorious over your cunning by the time morning comes." According to Ibn Ishaq, then Abdul Muttalib let go of the metal ring of the door of the Kaaba, and they left Mecca and ascended to the mountain's tops. Muqatil bin Sulaiman mentioned that they left 100 animals, that is camels, tied near the Kaaba, hoping that some of the army would take some of them without a right to do so, and thus bring about the vengeance of Allah upon themselves. When morning came, Abraha prepared to enter the sacred city of Mecca. He prepared the elephant named Mahmud. He mobilized his army, and they turned the elephant towards the Kaaba. At that moment, Nufail bin Habib approached it and stood next to it. And taking it by its ear, he said, "Kneel, Mahmud, then turn around and return directly to whence you came. For verily, you are in the sacred city of Allah." Then he released the elephant's ear and it knelt. After which, Nufail bin Habib left and hastened to the mountains. Abraha's men beat the elephant in an attempt to make it rise, but it refused. They beat it on its head with axes and used hooked staffs to pull it out of its resistance and make it stand, but it refused. So they turned him towards Yemen, and he rose and walked quickly. Then they turned him towards Asham, and he did likewise. Then they turned him towards the east, and he did the same thing. Then they turned him towards Mecca, and he knelt down again. Then Allah sent against them the birds from the sea, like swallows and herons. Each bird carried 3 stones the size of chickpeas and lentils, one in each claw and one in its beak. Everyone who was hit by them was destroyed, though not all of them were hit. They fled in panic along the road, asking about the whereabouts of Nufail, that he might point out to them the way home. Nufail, however, was at the top of the mountain with the Quraysh and the Arabs of the Hijaz, observing the wrath which Allah had caused to descend on the people of the elephant. Nufail then began to say, "Where will they flee when the one true God is the pursuer? For Al-Ashram is defeated and not the victor." Ibn Ishaq reported that Nufail said these lines of poetry at that time: "Didn't you live with continued support? We favored you all with a revolving eye in the morning. That is a guide along the way. If you saw, but you did not see it at the side of the rock-covered mountain, that which we saw, then you will excuse me and praise my affair, and do not grieve over what is lost between us. I praised Allah when I saw the birds, and I feared that the stones might be thrown down upon us. So all the people are asking about the whereabouts of Nufail as if I have some debt that I owe to the Abyssinians." Ata' bin Yasar and others have said that all of them were not struck by the torment at this hour of retribution. Rather, some of them were destroyed immediately, while others were gradually broken down limb by limb while trying to escape. Abraha was one of those who was broken down limb by limb until he eventually died in the land of Qad'am. Ibn Ishaq said that they left Mecca being struck down and destroyed along every path and at every water spring. Abraha's body was afflicted by the pestilence of the stones, and his army carried him away with them as he was falling apart piece by piece, until they arrived back in Sana'a. When they arrived there, he was but like the baby chick of a bird, and he did not die until his heart fell out of his chest, so they claim. Ibn Ishaq said that when Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the prophethood, among the things that he used to recount to the Quraysh as blessings that Allah had favored them with of his bounties was his defending them from the attack of the Abyssinians. Due to this, they, the Quraysh, were allowed to remain safely in Mecca for a period of time. Thus Allah said in the Noble Quran, chapter 105, verses 1-5, "Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the owners of the elephant? Did he not make their plot go astray? And he sent against them birds in flocks of Ababil, striking them with stones of Sijil, and he made them like Asf Ma'kul." In chapter 106 of the Holy Quran, verses 1-4, Allah says, "For the ilaf of the Quraysh, their ilaf caravans in winter and in summer. So let them worship the Lord of this house, who has fed them against hunger and has made them safe from fear." Meaning that Allah would not alter their situation because Allah wanted good for them if they accepted him. Ibn Hisham said, "Al-Ababil are the groups, as the Arabs do not speak of just one bird." He also said, "As for a Sijil, Yunus An-Nahwi and Abu Ubaida have informed him that according to the Arabs, it means something hard and solid." He then said, "Some of the commentators have mentioned that it is actually 2 Persian words that the Arabs have made into one word. The 2 words are Sanj and Jil. Sanj meaning stones and Jil meaning clay. The rocks are of these 2 types, stone and clay." He continued saying, "Al-Asf are the leaves of the crops that are not gathered. One of them is called Asfa." This is the end of what he mentioned. Hammad bin Salama narrated from Asim, who related from Zir, who related from Abdullah and Abu Salama bin Abdurrahman, that they said, "Birds Ababil," meaning in groups. Ibn Abbas and Ad-Dahaq both said, "Ababil means some of them following after others." Al-Hasan al-Basri and Qatadah both said, "Ababil means many." Mujahid said, "Ababil means in various successive groups." Ibn Zayd said, "Ababil means different, coming from here and there, that came upon them from everywhere. Al-Kasa'i said, I heard some of the grammarians saying the singular of Ababil is Ibil. Ibn Jarir recorded from Ishaq bin Abdullah bin Al-Haris bin Nawfal that he said concerning Allah's statement in Al-Quran, chapter 105, verse 3, and he sent against them birds, Ababil. This means in divisions just as camels march in divisions in their herds. It is reported that Ibn Abbas said, regarding the same verse, and he sent against them birds, Ababil. Al-Quran, chapter 105, verse 3. They had snouts like the beaks of bird and paws like the paws of dogs. And it has been reported that Ikrimah said, commenting on Allah's statement, birds, Ababil. Meaning, they were green birds that came out of the sea and they had heads like the heads of predatory animals. It has been reported from Ubayd bin Umair that he commented, birds, Ababil. Meaning, they were black birds of the sea that had stones in their beaks and claws. And the chains of narration for these statements are all authentic. It is reported from Ubayd bin Umair that he said, when Allah wanted to destroy the people of the elephant, he sent the birds upon them that came from sea swallows. Each of the birds was carrying three small stones, two stones with its feet and one stone in its beak. They came until they gathered in rows over their heads. Then they gave a loud cry and threw what was in their claws and beaks. Thus, no stone fell upon the head of any man except that it came out of his behind, that is, it went through him, and it did not fall on any part of his body except that it came out of from the opposite side. Then Allah sent a severe wind that struck the stones and increased them in force. Thus, they were all destroyed. Concerning Allah's statement in the Holy Quran, chapter 105, verse 5, and he made them like asfa. Ma'kul. Sa'id bin Jubair said, this means straw, which the common people call habur. In a report from Sa'id, he said, the leaves of wheat. He also said, al-asf is straw, and al-ma'kul refers to the fodder that is cut for animals. Al-Hasan al-Basri said the same thing. Ibn Abbas said, al-asf is the shell of the grain, just like the covering of wheat. Ibn Zayd said, al-asf are the leaves of vegetation and produce. When the cattle eat it, they defecate it out and it becomes dung. The meaning of this is that Allah destroyed them, annihilated them and repelled them in their plan and their anger. They did not achieve any good. He made a mass destruction of them and not one of them returned to their land. To relate to what happened except that he was wounded, this is just like what happened to the king Abraha. For indeed he was split open, exposing his heart when he reached his land of Sana'a. He informed the people of what happened to them, and then he died. His son Yaksum became the king after him, and then Yaksum's brother, Masrukh bin Abraha, succeeded him. Then Saif bin Ziyadan al-Himyari went to Kisra, the king of Persia, and sought his help against the Abyssinians. Therefore, Kisra dispatched some of his army with Saif al-Himyari to fight with him against the Abyssinians. Thus, Allah returned the kingdom to them, that is, the Arabs of Yemen, along with all the sovereignty their fathers possessed. Then large delegations of Arabs came to him, Saif al-Himyari, to congratulate him for their victory. We have mentioned previously in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fath that when the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached the mountain pass that would lead him to the Quraysh on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah, his she-camel knelt down. Then the people attempted to make her get up, but she refused. So the people said, Al-Qaswa has become stubborn. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, Al-Qaswa has not become stubborn, for that is not part of her character. Rather, she has been stopped by he who restrained the elephant of Abraha. Then he said, I swear by he in whose hand is my soul, they, the Quraysh, will not ask me for any matter of the treaty in which the sacred things of Allah are honored except that I will agree with them on it. Then he beckoned the she-camel to rise and she stood up. This hadith is of those that Al-Bukhari was alone in recording. It has been recorded in two sahihs that on the day of the conquest of Mecca, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, Allah restrained the elephant from Mecca, and He has given His Messenger and the believers authority over it. And indeed, its sacredness has returned just as it was sacred yesterday. So let those who are present inform those who are absent." This is the end of the tafsir of Surah Al-Fil, and all praise and thanks are due to Allah.